it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Today is brought to you by Doral Hyundai, home of the price. See to our lowest price. Visit us at Doral Hyundai or DoralHyundai.com. Starting with the Panthers, who will open up their season tonight when they welcome in Chicago. The puck drops at 5 o'clock from Amaranth Bank Arena, and the game can be heard here on WQAM with Doug Plagans and Billy Lindsay on the call. Over to the Heat, who fell to the Bucks 103-93. The Heat will continue the preseason when they host San Antonio tomorrow night. In the NFL, Week 5 wrapped up with the Jaguars beating the Chiefs 31-28. Week 6 begins on Thursday with the Eagles and Giants. And in baseball, the Brewers beat the Cubs 7-4 to go up 2-0. And the Dodgers took a 2-0 lead on the Phillies, winning 4-3. The Joe Rose Show continues now.
Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight.
And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, here we go again, man. It starts right back up. NHL champion Florida Panthers open up tonight at Jerry's house at Amaranth Bank Arena. I always say CDs from Orly, not a bad way to go either, as we bring in Goldie. Gold, how you doing, brother? Man, this is going to be a lot of fun. Steve Goldstein with us this morning, the voice of the Panthers. There's so much to talk about. Let's start with that ring. Oh, it was so big and gaudy. I just love looking at it. It was unbelievable.
Well, it is unbelievable. It'll also be unbelievable, as you know, Joe, because you've been there. I'll be with Jerry Plush, the great leader of Amaranth Bank here in South Florida, in that suite tonight for a little while as well, because we don't call the game. It's on national TV. So we do have a TV pregame show at 4 o'clock on Scripps. So it's a great situation for me because, as you know, Joe, I never say no. I get a little TV time. I ain't doing it for free. And then I get to hang out with Jerry. Does it get any better than that, brother?
No,
no,
man.
It doesn't.
You got that thing figured out, brother. All right, so no Barkov. Tkachuk is due back sometime in December. But we still got the other big horses, man. Verhage and Reinhardt and Bennett and Seth Jones and Forsling and Big Bob and Marchand and Ekblad and the rest of them. How do you feel and go besides that core? Get me caught up on some of the young guys that are going to have a big impact on this team early on.
Well, I think Mackey Samuskevich, you know, he scored 15 goals last year, Joe. He looks great in camp, a little bit bigger. You know, they brought him along correctly. You know, you don't just throw him in at 20 years old. He's now 22. So I'm looking at him. And, you know, Evan Rodriguez is a guy that doesn't get talked about a lot. Here's a selfless player, right? Because 2 years ago against Edmonton, he scored all those goals. He was on the first line in the Stanley Cup final. Last year in the playoffs, he found himself on the fourth line at times. The guy never complains. He's got to move over to center, at least to start, without Barkov. If he can be an effective third-line center, and Evan Rodriguez has played center before, with Samuskevich with him, and then Boqvist, I think that's a huge factor. Because if you look back the last few years, as much as we talk about the top guys, the problem for other teams in those playoff series trying to beat this team 4 times out of 7 was no one could match up with the third line. It was Lundell, Lostarinen, and whether it was Reinhardt down there with him, or Tarasenko, who they traded for, or Marchand, teams had no answers. So I think that third line is going to be a big factor. And you know, Joe, you don't replace a guy like Barkov.
No.
There's no chance of doing that. So everybody's got to change a little bit, do a little bit more. And, you know, they definitely have the talent to do it. We know that.
You got to help me out on what took place. Everybody yesterday, I was a little down about what happened in Carolina, but the preseason.
You had to bring that up.
No. I'm not. I don't want anything. Nothing's messing up this day. That preseason game against Tampa Bay in the 322 minutes and 19 ejections in the game. What was that about? Cooper downplayed it, but like he had to be behind that. Those guys going out there, the minor leaguers going out and throwing blows. What was your take on the whole thing?
Well, first of all, you're right, because the organization had to call those guys up. They swapped out like six guys, a third of a team, a few hours before the game. Put it this way, Joe, it's the anomaly in sports. You know, down here in South Florida, there was a time, the Dolphins and the Jets, I think you guys genuinely hated those guys. You hated Mark Gastineau. I think Nick's Heat, Riley, P.J. Brown, Charles Oakley, Charlie Ward, the list goes on and on, yeah. John Starks.
Right.
We've lost that in sports, except for the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Florida Panthers. They genuinely dislike each other. It's physical. It's mean. It's nasty. But Tampa Bay obviously went way over the line, calling up guys that are not NHL players to go after star players and hit them in the head. Nothing to do with the context of hockey. So the NHL obviously agreed. They fined him about $125,000. A couple of players for the Lightning are suspended. The guy that went after Ekblad, it doesn't even matter. He's suspended for four games, Joe, in the NHL. He's 33 years old. He's played four NHL games in his life.
Right.
So it doesn't matter. That guy, he's not making the league. I think Tampa Bay is frustrated. The Panthers have blown him out and eliminated him the last 2 years in five in the first round. And you know the Panthers don't back down to anybody. So I think the Florida Panthers are in so many teams' heads, including the Tampa Bay Lightning. And yeah. I thought that's what we saw. We broadcasted the game. I really could not believe what I was watching.
So just to follow it up, Paul Maurice, he and John Cooper, I see him shake hands after these series, and Paul Maurice always classy about everything. Are they close? What's that relationship with this, as competitive as this series obviously is?
No, they're not close. I don't think Paul, except for Pete DeBoer, as you know, Joe, we you know, had him as Panthers coach. They literally, you know, from teenage and junior hockey, those guys grew up together. You know, okay. They lived together. They coached together.
Yeah.
So they're great friends. I don't think Paul Maurice, you know how competitive he is. I don't think he's got a little Jimmy Johnson in him. You know, he doesn't need to be buddy-buddy with the other coaches. I'm trying to beat your ass. I don't need to be. Right. I got plenty of friends.
Right.
I got plenty of friends and family and all that. But Paul Maurice cannot be happy. You got Barkov, Tkachuk, and Nosek already out of the lineup. 2 minutes into the game, they go after Aaron Ekblad's head. Then they go after Carter Verhaeghe's head. It's a rivalry. It's mean. It's nasty. And obviously it goes beyond just on the ice, as we saw.
Yeah, man. I just wanted to get that out of the way because it was weird. It just happened here. And here we are starting and got a couple of home games coming up here. Hey, so as you look at this thing, is there going to be growing pains, or is it good enough right off the bat? Is it deep enough without Barkov and Tkachuk, who are considered to be, as you know, two of the top 10 or 15 players in the league?
I think the combinations are going to be interesting. You know, he's going to start tonight and go back a little old school from a few years ago when they made the Stanley Cup final with Lundell, Lösterin, and then Reinhart together. And that means it's Marchand, Bennett, and Verhaeghe. They're going to have to find some chemistry. You know, Verhaeghe's played with Bennett before. But I do think, Joe, you know, I think we overlooked the defense a little bit. Remember, Seth Jones now has gone through a Paul Maurice training camp.
That's right.
He's got the experience of being a champ. They're going to have to rely on the defense. You know, I think those six, and I really like Petrie, who they brought in. And, you know, again, it could be another story of a veteran guy coming here to South Florida, his final year, one of his final years, and boom, things click. We got like a dozen guys that have done that and walked out of here with championships. So I think
we just lost.
Really honed in. And, you know, and all these guys are going to have to, you know, do just a little bit more. I think they're capable of doing it. I'm real interested to see how the thing shakes out and how that benches, you know, without Matthew Tkachuk and Alexander Barkov. You know, it changes the dynamic a little bit, but how big is the pickup now of Brad Marchand? I mean, you're playing without your captain for all or most of the season. Brad Marchand was a captain forever in Boston. He won a Stanley Cup as captain.
Great point.
I think he becomes even more valuable. And by the way, you know this, the guys absolutely love him and they follow him.
Yeah. No, man, you can't say enough about that work done and getting all three of those guys under contract after the parade. It was just fantastic. Before I let you go, I know you're tight on time today. Also, you do the pregame Dolphin games on preseason. I want to ask you your take. 1-4 start. Go ahead.
Just brutally disappointed, Joe. You know, I listened to a lot of it. You know, I talked to those guys privately during training camp. There was such an effort on this team. Number one, to get the young guys ready. You know, Tua Tagovailoa and those leaders would go to the Grants and the Sabainayas and the Traders and go, all those guys. Hey, guys, you don't have time to be rookies. We need you this year.
Yeah.
The culture, everybody together, you know, everybody standing up on the sideline when there's a kickoff, to see it go the way it went. And I could almost live with weeks 2 and 3 because Tua throws picks at the end. I mean, they were driving. They should have beaten New England. He throws an interception. Okay, it's a mistake. What I watched Sunday for 3 quarters was about as disappointed and frustrated as I've been by a South Florida sports team in a really long time. I thought getting beat like that by a bad team was just despicable.
Totally agree.
Those rookies, I can't believe it. I know they're more talented than that. They got rookies, Joe, and if you believe Pro Football Focus, you know, they go in
– yeah.
They're Dead the last. Worst players yeah. in the league. How is that possible? I don't know if it's the way they're being utilized, if some of it's coaching, some of it's on them. Usually it's a combination of things. It's just terribly disappointing to see them get gutted the way they are. And it seems to me right now, maybe it's a confidence thing. You know, you played when you don't believe in everything, it could look like you're not trying as hard as you should be. But I'm seeing out there, like, there's defensive guys. Sometimes, Joe, a guy makes a play in the backfield. No one's even going over the guy and jumping on him and stuff. What's going on? It's terribly disappointing.
Yeah. It's the old here we go again when things start to go against them. And we saw that up 17-0. Carolina started running the ball like their old Oklahoma teams or something, the way they are running the football down our throats.
Hey, anyway. Joe, I was already thinking it's 17-0. Okay. It's back. We got a big game next week against the Chargers. You get back to 500. And
that's right.
And then for the thing to go the other way, the way it went that way, and the offense looks great, and then all of a sudden,
disappeared.
It can't even function anymore. No. I don't understand it. I don't understand it.
You know what, Gold? I didn't mean to mix the really good with the really bad, but we just did it. My man, thank you.
Did.
I appreciate you coming on, Gold. Thank you so much. Have a good time at the Amaranth Bank family tonight, my man.
Joe, love you, buddy. Thanks.
I'll see you. All right. See you, Steve Goldstein with this course, be off tonight. He'll be working over there. He'll be working at the old arena. Anyway, we got to go to break. We'll be right back after this.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What do you know? We're just talking about old school and new school with this football. And by the way, it's just in sports in general, the way you talk to and the way you act as basically when you mess up, that's what it's all about. And how bad is the mess up, or the guy keeps making the same mental mistake, or the guy does something really stupid in a game and ends up costing you the game, or, you know, it's a huge play and coaches go off on guys. And now you can't do it in a group because you can't humiliate a guy because they're not built for it. Those days are gone. I get it. I'm not saying 100% gone, but 90-something percent. Those days, I can't even think of a coach who could still get away with just letting a rip that's still in the league. And really letting you have it.
Dan Campbell seems like he...
I think Dan Campbell could get after you pretty good. Plus, he's physically, you know...
So they sent us the video of the coach, and I have seen the video, and he does take a swipe at the... We're talking about the Arizona coach and the running back. He takes a swipe at the guy, and I guess he hits him on the top, you know, his arm or whatever.
Yeah.
Man, that is a brutal mistake. Like, the fact that he didn't tell the guy to go in the locker room and you're off the team right now...
Well, you're not getting with the money and
even Greg Olson was screaming, I guess, about like they got to cut someone that does it. Like, you, You can't do these things, man.
So that's a
at that level.
That's a
the guy's getting paid over $1 million. You can't do that kind of stuff. You just can't.
By the way, if there was somebody who needs to get cut, somebody needs to get cut from the Dolphins to send a message. We don't do it. I'll tell you who does it. The Jets have done it. Aaron Glenn's cut two guys. He's cut two guys.
Well,
you know the guy that fumbled the kickoff return against the Dolphins in the second half when they had a chance to get the ball?
Yeah.
And the guy that fair caught the ball down on the 2 yard line? He got cut.
I'm not so sure the Dolphins are in a position to cut anyone, but.
Well, that's the whole point.
But they're a friendly organization, man.
But you can't, but it's hard. You can't go around cutting guys that are good players, even when they do something really stupid.
But the coach, like, yeah, he hit the guy on the arm, but then, like, to come out the next day, oh, I had to apologize to everyone.
I think
come
he did.
Come on, man.
I think as much as it sucks, and I'm obviously not from that school, although my dad was tough, he was respectful. I mean, it wasn't like he just, you know, was out of line. My dad was never out of line. I wish he didn't hit as many times he did a few times, but he wasn't out on line.
I understand. But I just think of, like, if one of your guys did that, going into the end zone and just flip the ball out the back before you crossed in.
I told
you. I can't even imagine what that would have been like. I'm guessing nobody did that kind of stuff.
Well, how about this? Shoes didn't believe in celebrations in the end zone.
Oh, well.
You could spike the ball. But if you did anything, Dariel Harris caught a quick post pattern off a blitz, ran in for a touchdown. The guy that was covering him slipped or something. He runs in. He goes to dunk it through the goalpost. He comes down and sprains his knee. He sprains his knee. He misses a game or two. And Shoes let him have it in front of the team. Now, Shoes, these guys today would not. They don't want any part of Coach Shula now. By the way, the team was very aware of who screwed up, and he made it a point in a team meeting to bring it up. He didn't do one-on-one like, hey, come in early. I want to talk to you in my office. Like, I mean, he would do that too. I did go in there once too for that.
I don't know. I'm watching this video over. I don't think this coach was out of line, man. That is such an outrageous thing to do.
Well, it already had happened once.
It happened the week before.
The league had a chance to see it.
The other thing is, it looks like the guy's looking up at one of those big Jumbotron screens, too.
He wanted to see his work.
To see if someone's behind him or whatever. Like, I don't know. I just don't think the coach was out of line. But then to come out and apologize afterwards.
Well.
I'm sorry if I hurt anyone's feelings. Like, come on, dude.
So there's a chance, Woody. Somebody said, hey, we got some guys pissed off.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
And you don't have much of a resume. Probably a good idea to apologize to the team.
Amazing.
There are a lot of guys, man, will say, hey, don't talk to me that way, man. Nobody talks to me that way.
Sure.
It's different.
You want to hear this? This is the you want to hear the apology again?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I actually, I woke up this morning and didn't feel great about it, honestly. And so in the team meeting, I addressed it. I apologized to Omari, apologized to the team. And I just told him I kind of let the moment of what happened get the better of me there. Obviously, like I try to be emotionally stable and calm because my job is to solve problems when during a game and kind of lead the charge on that. So it's not really who I am, who I want to be. And I told the guys that today. So it's a mistake by me. And it's just like everybody in there. Everybody made some type of mistake yesterday, which is, you know, culminates to why we didn't win the game. And we can't let it happen moving forward.
He doesn't want guys to quit on him. He doesn't want that thing to, like, guys take the player's side.
You know, I'm a member of the newer school, man. And that is just weak.
Yes, it is.
By the way, that play single-handedly cost you that game.
Yes.
I don't hear any of this other crap. And yes, there were some other ridiculous plays, like when you had an interception and you drop the ball into the end zone, they get a touchdown. But that play, you cross the goal line, the game's over. It's 28-3. They ain't coming back from that.
It is.
The game's over. That cost you guys the game and probably your season, because now everything's going to derail from there. Watch this. Watch them.
Yeah. So, you know, crazy. My college coach was even crazier. Like, when he lost it, he'd go nuts on players. in their face. So I really had a good warm up of what it was like down here. But yeah, man, it's a new world, Woody. Don't be spanking those kids, man. Don't apologize. Don't shake them and say you're sorry. If their feelings are hurt, something they did, you make sure you say you're sorry. I was wrong.
Yeah. Everybody cost us the game, not just you.
All right. Hey, listen, we got Kyle Crabbs going to join us. We're going to talk some guys taking it really hard. Host of Locked On Fins podcast. He's going to join us next. We're going to talk a little bit about this Miami Dolphins and the rookie class coming up.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.